I went to a meeting yesterday, a division meeting, and we talked about the coronavirus, and there was a big meeting today, I think, and this afternoon, talking about the coronavirus. And what they talked about was the possibility that it's going to cause closed downs, and how would we handle it if the school closed down. Let me just get this so I can, yes, so I can get a new thing. And just as a comment, for this class, it doesn't make any difference. You know, we still have the lectures from last year. We still have the other stuff. So this class would just continue as if it were an online class, that's all. But all my classes are set to be online if they, you know, and I teach a lot of them online, especially through the umbrella course. I've done 150, people have done 156 online. So anyway, but they're talking about what would happen, you know, and they haven't figured it out yet, about how people would complete courses that aren't set up to be online. So anyway, stay tuned. Hopefully they'll share all this information with students so they have an idea. And one doesn't know when it's coming, but they've said that they're recommending that faculty go light on attendance and not get carried away about attendance, because people need to be careful. And that faculty has to make, you know, their own decisions about whether they're going to go online or not. And I'm going to tell you that if it is very severe around here, I'm going to stay home, because I'm concerned about my husband. And I don't want him to get it. And if I get it, then he's probably going to get it too. And so if it's all, if it's looking like this area of Massachusetts is not doing well, then I'm going to just go to an online method, and I won't be here. But we will see. Okay, my courses are set up as hybrids anyway, so I can do that without even having to tell anybody. I'm all set for that. Okay? So, that's the deal.
I did hear that some of the other colleges and universities are just saying after spring break, it'll be all online.
Yes.
The ones that are already set up for that kind of thing.
Right.
And it sounds like they might do that.
They might. Well, they're more, they will not be making that decision probably at a college level, but it'll probably be made at the state level. From what I, again, what I gathered is that the college may not make the decision, the state may decide to close up, or that everybody, I don't know. If you're interested, I don't know whether the meeting today is for faculty or faculty and students. I don't know. But they're having a meeting today. Then probably it's for faculty and staff to try to decide what they're doing. So, which makes it a crowd. Which makes it... Not saying...
Sit 3 feet away from everybody. This is perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's where we stand. And now we got to go find Visual Studio. Actually, Visual Studio is through software, isn't it? I had a lousy night's sleep last night, and it's showing. Okay, before we go there, I want to go to my page and just point that out. Okay. So we finished the .NET programs that basically covered a lot of arrays. I'm going to now go back to the things that are more this version. They work equally well. And interestingly enough, there's a lot of people that claim they're still using .NET out there. so we will go to that. So we're going to go and look at the arrays that are showing up under examples. Okay, so there is about three different array things, and we're going to look at those. Then we're going to back up and go look at procedures and functions and standalone functions. And then on Thursday, the plan is to look at multiple forms and menus. So that will get us through basically the basics. And then we'll start looking at how to combine this with a database. And after break, we'll be looking at how to combine this with a database. And we'll be looking at doing some projects just to write code after we finish with the fundamentals. Okay, so we're going to look at intro array. And I think I have it on one of my disks. If not, I will have to download it. Maybe I don't. That would be very strange. Okay. So the one I'm looking at first is intro array. There's three arrays over here under chapter 8. And so I'm going to the first one under chapter 8, which is intro array. Okay, so I've got a form here that is doing a bunch of different things. And I've also got a module. So again, you can create module and then you can just put things into it. In my module, I have three things that I call public. I could use this module with other things. If I wanted to have these in my regular program, I can just copy and paste them and I would change it to a dim because I'm defining. So I would change it to a dim when I copied and pasted it, and I would just copy the three things, not the whole module, and I would paste them into the load. Into above the load, into the class. So I would copy and paste them right here beneath the public class because I want them available in multiple subroutines. And would change the word public to dim because I'm now making it local to the program. and I would change those to dim, and it works just fine. Okay, I played with that. So it's as simple as that. I played with putting it out in the language array model is what I mean. So out there, I've set up three things. I have got a upper limit, array of six. And so this array of languages is going to be like I had put the six there. I defined this variable, and whatever that variable is going to be the one that makes it. So if I wanted to change that variable someplace, I would be changing the size of the array. And then I had a second array, and when you define it like this in curly braces, you don't put the numbers in the parentheses. So I've said, here are languages that we teach, some of the languages that we teach. Okay, so those are in there. So this is my two arrays. This one is called Array Language BCC, and the others are called array languages. Okay, so these are my two. And just in case I want those, it might be good to put them in a notepad so I can bring them up. Okay, so now I'm going to go back to the Visual Basic for the form. And again, I could take them and put them right there, right beneath the public class. So now I'm saying, okay, to start out with, I'm saying I've got a form intro array load. So when this program gets loaded, then I am going to look at int upper sub, and I am going to go through that, and in this case I'm setting everything to empty, so I'm making that array empty. Okay, so this is how you do that. I say go through, pick everyone from 0 up to, and write string.empty on it. So I'm making it an empty array. Okay. So, if I go back out and look at the form, wait a minute, where's the form? There it is. Okay, so if I start running this form, show the code at the same time. Okay. So this first one is form intro array load. So when I load this, okay, it is going to blank it all out. Then I go down to button fill array. Okay, so this one goes with fill language array. So let's say that I put into the number of languages here and I put 4. And then I say fill the language array. So I've now chosen to have it 4. And so I'm going to put in VB and PHP and Perl and PL SQL. It really makes a big difference how I spell that. So I really glad I fixed it. And I hit OK again, and it tells me I'm done because I said I wanted a 4. Okay? So this, I initially set that to 6. Okay, but now
I am saying I want to do four in there. So I'm going to go from zero to four. Okay. So I'm putting four in this array of languages.
Put four into the array of languages. I started out by saying I was going to do six, but then I changed it to four. Okay. So then I came down and said, okay, now I want to play with this. And I said, I want to see languages. Okay, I wanted to fill the array. Sorry about that. I want to fill the array, and then I want to see the languages. So to fill the array, I up here and made it empty. And now I'm coming down and saying convert to integer the text number that I put in. And this is the text number of languages. I put in a 4. So convert it to an integer and look and see if it is less than or equal to the room that I've set aside in the array. So I've set aside up to 7 in the array. Okay? It has to be less than or equal to that. And then I say, okay, for number of language sub from 0 up to what I put in, put the languages that you know. Okay, so that's where I filled in the languages that I know. If I put a number that is outside the array, then it comes back and tells me to re-enter a number. So if I had put in here, if I had put in here an 8 or a 9, let's say 9, it comes back and says number of entries is outside the array. So I set that up originally. Well, I gotta say okay. Okay, so I set this up originally as 6. Which means that 7 things can go in there. 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm only choosing to put 4 things in there. So I'm changing what I'm actually putting in there. But I've got slots that would allow up to 7. So I then said, okay, if the language is a problem, if the number is a problem, then I put out the else that says number and then it's outside the array. And when I put the 9 in, it gave me that it was outside the array. Okay? And then I'm filling it with the languages you know. So the sub is going up, and it is filling it with the things that I enter in the input box. So I'm entering them in the input box, and they're going into the array. Okay? So then if I say, let's go back. And run it again with the 4. Okay, so I ran it with the 4. And then I say, fill the language array, and it asks for the names. So I gave VB, PHP, Perl, and PL. SQL. And I said, okay. Now, if I want to see the languages, I click that, and there they are. And if I had more than 4, it would have made a little scroll bar over on the side so that it can scroll down and get it. So I'm now seeing the languages in the array. Okay, so list languages is going to go from 0 to the number of languages minus 1, and it is just putting them in that box. So this is a text box, and when I use a text box, I have textbox.items.add, and I add it in. So I'm going through them and adding the text box just so I can see them. Okay. then I came down to the languages at BCC, and it's now showing me that I'm starting out with 7. And it gave me 7 languages and put that in. So those are the ones that are in the array already. So if I look at that array that I copied over, those are the ones that are already in the array. Okay, so those are the languages taught at BCC. Not the languages I claim to know, but the languages taught at BCC. Okay, then I go into the for statement. And the for each statement. So I said, the languages taught at BCC, that was right up here. Now I'm down to the for each. And the for each is kind of an interesting thing. It says, okay, for each in this array, there's the array it's looking at. And each one is called variable for each as I step through the array. So if I'm going to use the for each, I don't need to use a subscript, because it's going to go through each one. So the for each will go through the whole array, and it will do what I tell it to with those fields. So I'm saying each entry is going to be called variable for each, and that's the entry that you're currently looking at, and it's in that array. And so for each just means that it goes through 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it goes through them all. If you want to have more control, you're not going to use a for each. Yeah?
So, do you define variable for each?
No, it gets defined in the for statement.
Okay.
So just putting it there in the for statement defines it. I don't think it cares if you define it elsewhere. But if just putting it there does the define. So the next one that I did, that was the for each. Okay, so that put them all down, and this time it's using the for each. And the box is a little bit bigger, so it got one more in there. But those are the languages of BCC using the for each. So up here, I did them with a for that I controlled, and I changed the index. I used the index to pick which one, and I controlled it with my for. Down here, I'm controlling it with the for each. So these two things accomplish exactly the same thing. Okay. I step through them, and I put them out. If I want a lot of control, I would use a where statement as a while statement as opposed to, or a do statement as opposed to a for. This is beautiful for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. But if you want to check something and do something, it's not as beautiful. And the other kinds of loops work a little bit better. Then I went through and did a for each to ask whether the language was taught at BCC. Okay, so I'm going through, is the language taught at BCC? And that's in this menu called Search Language at BCC. And then the bottom one is that one. So I set up a work language question as a string, and I set up text yes as a text box with nothing in it, empty. And then I said input enter the language to check. Okay, so I'm going to enter the language to check. And so I'm hitting is language taught at BCC, and I put in the language to check. So I'm going to put C++. And then I click an OK. and it comes back and says yes. So it tells me that it was taught at BCC. Okay? So I asked if the language is taught. Then I put out a message box just to kind of remind me what I chose. And then I said, for each, and again, it's going to step through everything. Okay? So it is now stepping through all of the items that are in this array. I mean, in this list box. So it's now checking through all of those items. So this time I'm not stepping through an array. I'm doing all those items in here and checking to see if it matches with one of those. I could have done it with the array. And then I said, okay, if the language that I put in is equal to whatever the current one is, again, language check without telling which one, because this is kind of an array. It's just a behind-the-scenes array. When I put things in the item box, it really is making an array of those things. Okay? By having them all put into the item box, it's making an array collection behind the scenes. So I'm now looking at those items in the item box and seeing if what I put in for language is equal to the one I'm currently looking at. I'm going to step through each one. If it is, then I put in a yes. Now, I never did anything if it was not equal. If I wanted to, after I got out of the do loop, I could have, I'm sorry, the for each loop, I could have put in an if statement that said, if text yes.text is not equal to yes, put a no in there. But I didn't. So if it's a language that we don't teach, you're not going to see it, anything. So let's clear that out. And if I put in, click this, and I put in COBOL. Okay, and it doesn't do anything. It just comes back and asks me to do it again if I wanted to. But it doesn't put anything there. If I wanted something there, then I would have to, outside the for each, okay, put a no. Or I guess I could put an else and put it in there and put a no in. But that seems kind of messy because I keep putting no's in and then I hit a yes. But I would keep going and I'd get no's more, so no, I couldn't do that. Just thinking about it, it would keep going. I can't stop it. So what you put in here is outside the for each. If text yes.text equals yes, then do nothing. Otherwise, put a no in there. And you could do that. Then the bottom one is more of your traditional array. And so if I search and I put in C++, whoops, I'm clicking the wrong place. Then it goes through the array. I just put that in to show it kind of stepping through the array, and it found C++ down near the bottom, and it said yes. If I had said VB, because VB is near the top, then it would have went to 0, 1, and then it found the yes. Okay, because VB is this 0, 1, it's the 1, 1 in. So as soon as I put a 1 and found it, it didn't go to a 2. If I put in here COBOL, and I click OK, it goes 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and tells me no. Because it checked all the things in the array and told me, no, it wasn't there. Okay, so this is my standard search that we looked at a lot last time. And I pointed out here that this if work language taught could be said two ways. I could look at the array or I could look at the item box. If because, as I said, the item box kind of makes a behind-the-scenes array. So I could have written this either of two ways. Either check and see if it's in the array, or check and see if it's what you put in the list box when you put the array into the list box. So I can check either one of those, and either one will work.
Where's the code that puts the array into the list box?
Up near the top. Let me just take a picture of this, and then I will go up. Right there. Those put it in. Wait a minute. That's filling the array. Sorry about that. It's the one down here, one below. I should have looked a little better.
The one down here is a for statement that puts the stuff into the array. So, add array language modified by name to the list, and that's putting it in there. And then this one is putting the BCC languages in. But I think it's this one I'm using, but anyway, these two fill the two list boxes. The first one fills the first list box. The second one fills the second list box. And I honestly don't remember when we go down here which array it's using.
Okay. Well, it appears to be using array language BCC. So it's checking. So that is being filled in the second one.
I couldn't remember which question I was interested in. That's being filled right there.
So this, again, is just a little bit more of manipulating arrays. And this is going in, and this has got the flexibility, which I did in the wire, of looking for two things. If word counts is still less than the length of the array, and indicator found is no, I will keep going. If one of those changes, I'm out of here. So if it's no longer less than, that means I've passed the endpoint of the array and I got to get out. And if indicator found changes to yes, that means I'm getting out for that purpose. I'm getting out because I found it. And if I found it, I might as well get out. Okay. So if I pass the point and... Or rather, if I pass the point, or indicator found changes over to yes, then I should get out. Successfully confused myself, which tells me that wasn't a bad way to do it. Wasn't a good way of doing it. I should probably have made it capital N-O consistently. Okay. So inside the array, I can either test the array to see if it's in there, or I can test the list box to see if it's in there. And I put one of them as a note, so it would be one or the other. I wouldn't be doing both there. It's one or the other.
And if it's found, then I'm going to set indicator found to be yes,
Otherwise, I'll add one to work count and move it up. Now, the reason I like this is I've got control. So at any point, I can change my logic and throw in another condition that I'm interested in or whatever. But I'm a control freak. And so I like control. For each is not one of my favorite things because you really don't have a lot of control. That's personal. Okay.
So the do well gives you more control.
Yeah.
Over the for each.
The for each is systematically stepping through one at a time. And you can do something, but you're going to go through them all. Questions.
So, how did you get this module?
How did I get which one?
The module form.
The module is just there and available. So it will check modules. But if I didn't like the module, so the module is just there. And it will use the module on an as-needed basis. So it's kept track of what you define in the module. But if you didn't want the module, then you would take the code from it, move it over here to public class, right below public class, and change the word public to dim. And that would make it inside the program if you wanted to. Modules are mainly used for something that you want to share with another program. If you don't want to share it, at least my opinion is, I don't have to go and look at something else if it's here. So I kind of like having it here. Questions? Okay. The other one was calc, I believe. And hopefully these things make a little sense when you see them in use. What I hate is textbooks that don't show me examples. So I overdo examples. So here I've just got a form, I don't have a module, so I put these things that could have gone into a module or something up at the top. And I could have other things in a module. So this one I've got num array has a series of numbers in it that I put in when I load. So when I load, I put those in, and now if I hit show array, it's showing them to me. And that's a perfect use of a for each, because I wanted to see everything in the array, it just showed me everything in the array. Okay. So I defined a num array. Okay, the num array has been defined up here, and that's the stuff. Num array 5, and then defined with the values. And now I'm saying for each show num, which is in num array. So it's show num in num array. And then I go back and I do the show num. So I say add, and I'm adding it to the list box. So I'm going through the array. All I'm doing there is going through the array and moving it over to the list box. That's all I'm doing. Okay. Now on the next one, and this one was using the for each for a couple of things. On the next one, I decided I wanted to get a total. So I said button total. And it's gonna go through another for each and add the number that's in there to the total. So add num is the thing, and it's in num array, and now I'm calling each element add num.
Okay.
I get to call it what I want. I'm calling it AdNum, and when I click on this, it will show me the total. So it does the ad, and after the for loop is over, I take the result of the ad, and I put it up, and number 2 says to 2 decimal places. And 2 is the way of getting it to 2 decimal. I mean, it only showed 2 decimal places. Okay, then on the next one, I went through and I said calculate show average. So again, I went through a figure out what the total is. Okay, so I went through a figure out what the total is. Actually, I already had the total, so I really didn't need to do that. I only needed to do the divide. But I was kind of throwing in the for each, so I threw it in again. Okay, but in fact, as I said, I'd already calculated work total up above. Now, if you're afraid that somebody's not going to calculate work total before they do average, then it's good to have it in there. So I went through and did the add, and then I did the divide to come up with the number. So I said, format that calculation comma. As an end to. And then I said, okay, I want to know the high and the low. So on this one, I did a for statement as opposed to a for each. And I did a for statement. And I went through the array and I said, if the number in the array is greater than work high. So the first time work high was defined as 0, so the first time it's going to be greater than work high, so I change work high to hold the first number. Then I look at the second number, and if the second number is greater than what's in work high, then it changes it. If it isn't, it does nothing and leaves what's in work high there. So every time it does a comparison, if it's greater than, it changes it. Otherwise, it just leaves it there. And then at the end, I take and put what I have in my work area onto the form. And I really should have done numbers that aren't in sequence, because obviously the highest is going to be 6789. But if I had done numbers that went in sequence, that would work. And the lowest is just the reverse of that, that instead of asking greater than, I'm asking less than. And the lowest is coming up as 1234. Okay, and again, I should have put numbers in that weren't in sequence. Okay. Questions? The last one is calc. No, is more. Sorry about that. We just did calc. The last one is more. Okay, so here I have three arrays. Two of them are parallel arrays. So I've got the course number and the course name, and they go together. So the 0th one and the course number is matches the 0th one and the name. First matches first, second matches second, third matches third, and so forth. And then I just have some numbers stuff on a sort. Okay, so the first thing is I'm writing them out. So I'm showing the array. So what I'm doing is I'm going to the array, and I'm saying for count 0 to 4. Okay, so it's going to start out at 0 and go up to 4. And then I said go to the num array, modify it by 0, concatenate that with some spaces, concatenate that with go to the word array by 0. And so it writes out 120 programming logic. And then I take and add that I put into work info to the items. I tend to do that. You see sometimes this whole thing put in the add. I tend to like putting it in a work area and then put it in the add. But it's up to you how you want to do that. And so I go through that, and now it becomes one, and I put out the ones, and then it becomes two, and I put out the twos, and so forth. Okay. Then I do my classic search. So if I put in 156, it comes out with Visual Basic. And again, this is totally the classical search that we've been looking at. I'm saying if look sub is less than 5 and I haven't found a match, keep checking. If look sub is no longer less than 5, I'm outside the array. And if the match indicator changes to yes, then I found a match, so I want to get out. So it's your classic search. And then I've got add a course. So I want to add a course, and I'm going to add 150. Yeah, which is Oracle. And so I've now added a course. Okay. So go in to add a course. Simply says, first, redim, preserve. So I'm redimming and preserving both of the arrays. Okay? I want to make it bigger, but I don't want to lose it. So I'm redimming and preserving the array. Okay? It was dimmed at 4, and now I want to make it higher, but I don't want to lose what I've got in there. So I say redim, preserve. And then I say enter the course number, enter the course name. Then I say, okay, add one to course count before I redimmed. And now I'm saying, okay, so course count has already had one added to it. Put the input number in, put the input word in, and now show me the results. This is only show me the results after you added the course. Okay, if I cared, I could go in and sort these so that they were in order. Okay, the next thing is using the automatic sort, and I have this array, and I'm sorting it. Okay, and I sort it alphabetically. So 8 comes before 5, which comes before 1st, which comes before 4th, etc. I just took an array and sorted it. And the way I do that is just to say array.sort. That's the two-sort array that I defined up above. Let count go from 0 to 7 and add it to the list 0 through 7. I'll keep adding to the item list. So it did an automatic sort. Okay, I have you doing a sort for top down. This is just an automatic sort. It will be a lot easier than the sort you're doing for top down. Okay. Okay. That finishes up the notes on arrays. The one I want to look at next is the one on procedures. So if you haven't downloaded that, that's the one to download. And it should be here someplace. First procedures. Okay. This one is kind of tricky. The first two aren't. The others are. So the first one is just a button to greet. And I said to go and do this greet. So I set up a sub called greet. And I went and did it. And it got the date, which is now, and wrote out the date. Okay. Now the ones I want to look at. So that one's fine. We can look at that. If I press greet, it says it's 3:10 and it's 1:22. Because it was a date complete with the time. Now, total. Notice I've got a word static there. Static work total is double. Okay, so I'm going to come in here and click on total. And I'm adding the number 12. And click OK. And now I'm going to add, the next time I click on this, I'm going to add 45. And it's now up to 57. And the next time I click on this, I'm going to add 76. And it's now up to 133. So it keeps growing. And that's because of the word static. The word static means keep this, so that the next time you run it, come into the routine, I want to see the week total that you already hit. Okay? So I don't want you to start out new with the week total. I want you to maintain the one that you've had. You're right, that's a good thing to write down with your pencils. Now, if I go out of this one, and I come back in and I said, comment the static out and uncomment the dim. Okay? And if I run that now, and I put in 12, the total is 12. And I click it again, and I put in 45. And the total is 45. And I click it again and put in 2, and the total is 2. So it is not accumulating the total. The dim defined in here is resetting the total. Every time I click on the button, dim gets resets the total. Okay, so it gets reset to 0, and I just get the amount that I put in. If I want to accumulate that, I can do the static. And the static will let it keep accumulating. So defining it with static lets it keep accumulating. So now we're going to go to the part that I said is tricky. There are two ways, and I copied it onto your paste here, just so you could be sure to notice it. Okay. So, as we look at procedures, remember the quote from the Gaddis Irvine Visual Basic book. There are two ways to pass an argument to a procedure, by value or by reference. Passing an argument by value means that only a copy of the argument is passed to the procedure. Because the procedure has only a copy, it cannot make changes to the original amount. When an argument is passed by reference, however, the procedure has access to the original argument and can make changes to it. Okay? So passing by value versus passing by reference. By value means a copy is passed and you're not using the original. By reference means the procedure has access to the original and can make changes to it. Okay, so that's what this program, the rest of this program, is all about. Okay. The other two that we looked at up here, I set up a subroutine called To Greet. I set up a subroutine called To Total. I didn't pass anything to them. The quotes, the parentheses indicate that. So now let's look at this one. Okay. I've got two procedures, and I've set up a sub called calcref and another calcref, and then I set up two subs called calc by value and other calc by value, and we're going to follow this as we go through. So I'm starting out, and I said input box, enter the amount of the transaction. Okay. So I'm going to... The first one is by reference. I'm going to make the amount of the transaction 1,000. Okay? And then I say okay. And it says enter the percentage, and I'm going to put 0.2 for 20%. Okay? Didn't hit the okay. Okay, so this is what happens when that. Okay, so I put in 1,000. And I put in 0.2. Then I said, all right, go do the procedure. Now, the first thing you should notice, and I should have mentioned it before, is that when you go and do the procedure, it's just saying, go do it. When it was a function, go do the function was on the right, and the place you wanted to assign what was returned was on the left. And we've seen a few functions, and we're going to look at one more. Maybe not today. So this is just saying, go do that, and send work amount and percentage, work percentage that I took in. So I'm going to go do down here, and I am receiving the 1,000, and I'm receiving the 0.2 because I sent them down, okay? And I'm receiving them. Work amount is going in because I've said send work amount first, and there's work amount. And the other one is the 0.2. So now I said, okay, do a calculation. And so it did 1,000 times 0.2, and it came out with 200. And so the result of that calculation is right. Well, that's not going to happen. Anyway, it is up here. Can I get that to do it? Maybe. Okay, so that result of that calculation is 200. So now it's finished, and it goes back. Okay, it did a calculation with the stuff that I sent it. It's finished and it goes back. So when it goes back, it comes in down here. Because it is finished, it's come back. Now it puts out a back in button pass by reference from calc by reference, and the work amount is 200. Okay? So it has now changed work amount the 200 because I did that calculation down there. And it has now changed it to 200. Okay? So it's now changed to 200. Then I come back and I say, okay, back in reference, it's now 200. Okay? So now I say, add that line that I wanted to write to the box, and it's added as the second one. And now it says, okay, now go do other calc by reference and send it the 200 and the 0.2%. And so it takes the 200, multiplies it by the 0.2, and comes up with 40. And so it now will carry the 40 back, and it says back, and what is the work amount? The work amount is now 40. I'm sorry, it turned into the result first. And then it went back and said the work amount is now 40. So that's by reference. And by reference can change the original amount. So by reference changes the original amount. Okay. Now I did exactly the same thing by value, except that I wrote by value instead of by reference. And so I'm going to say pass by value, enter the amount of the transaction, I'm putting in 1,000 again, and I'm putting in 0.2 again. Okay, and this is by value. And so this comes up and says enter the transaction amount, so I did 1,000, and I did 0.2. And then it says go do calc by val. So calc by val does the calculation, and it comes up with 200, and it writes out that it's 200, just the way it did before. Now the difference is, it goes back, and when it goes back, it writes out the work amount as 1,000. So it didn't change the original work amount, it just changed it locally for anything that I do in the subroutine, but it didn't change the real value. So if you wanted to do, what about if it was 2%? What about if it was 3%? What about if it was 4%? You could go down and experiment with those. The original value wouldn't change. So the original value stays the same. So it goes back, and I put out the back, which is the second line there, and then I said, okay, add it to the, write that out loud in the list items, and now go to other calc. Okay, so it's going down to other calc. The work amount is now 200 and 0.2. Work is now 1,000 and 0.2. And it does the calculation and it hasn't changed. So it sent down 1,000 and 0.2. It did the calculation, came back and said 200. And when I went back up to the top, it says back in from other calc by value, and it shows the 1,000 because it didn't change. So that's the difference. It doesn't change. You know? So here, I sent down 1,000, and it changed in the reference. It changed. In this one, it didn't. Okay. So passing by reference and passing by value get you different responses. Does that make any sense? So if we started out with 1,000, if we pass by reference, that 1,000 diminishes if we do something to it. And we multiplied it by 0.2, which diminishes it. it could have increased. So it's changing and the original changes. But when I pass by value, the original stays the same. It makes a copy of it and uses the copy. Okay, so it uses the copy. So again, if you go back to my original here, there are two ways to pass an argument to a procedure, by value or by reference. Passing an argument by value means that only a copy of the argument is passed to the procedure. Because the procedure only has a copy, it can't make changes to the original. When an argument is passed by reference, the procedure has access to the original and can make changes to it. Okay? So what you have to decide is, one of the situations where that kind of comes up is you want to kind of calculate what a payment would do, and so, but you don't want to change the amount they owe. You want to give them, well, if you pay this percentage, this will happen. If you pay this percentage, this will happen. But you want to keep doing calculations based on the original. You don't want to change the original. And then other times you're doing something where you bring in transactions and the transaction is doing something to the original. It's either lowering or raising the original. And so you care about that. So you as the programmer can decide whether you want to do something with the original or whether you don't. Does that make any sense?
I mean, you could store the original.
Yes, and then not worry about it. But they came up with these two clever things, so we should at least go over them. Whether you ever use them again is your choice. And on that note, I think we will call it quits, because I'm not sure I want to confuse the issue. That's kind of tricky. And the function one may take more than 5 minutes, and that's about what we had. So I think we will call it quits. And look at the function one on Thursday and the, I think it's the menus that we need to look at, which are a royal pain in the neck. So we will look at those on Thursday. And then we will have vacation to get caught up.
Yes.
I was telling somebody, I went to Brown, and Brown, when I went there, had the mid-semesters after Christmas break. That was a wonderful thing. Because I went home for Christmas break and did the fall semester. You know, got caught up on the fall semester, and then spring break, let me get caught up on the spring break. And I was a horrible student, so I needed lots of catch-up time.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that week.
Yes. So, I expect to be miserable that week with all the homework coming in, but happy also that some of you are going to pass. So, send me homework.
I sent you something, and I wasn't sure if I actually, I'm not even sure I can.
I know I got something from you recently.
Yeah. I didn't, it was, maybe it was the visual basic assignment too, where you took in the customer name.
I don't remember.
Items, and
I didn't look at anything that came in that recently.
Well, I just, I guess what I was wondering is, did you want multiple input Or did you, that's what I
was... I'll look at it and get back to you.
I wasn't sure about that.
I'll look at you and send it back.